If you would turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I want to look at one verse of scripture this morning, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. This coming week is when our nation celebrates a day we call Thanksgiving. This will be my fourth year here with you during this time of year, and I've never brought a message that had anything to do with Thanksgiving, because a child of God doesn't need a holiday to be thankful. And I understand, and I'm thankful for the holiday, for families able to get together, spend time together, people get time off work. I'm grateful for that. But redeemed sinners, I'm talking about sinners, are thankful, or should be, every day. Every day that God gives them breath, they ought to be thankful. And though we're thankful for many things, we must always remember that it is God who gives us all the comforts of life. The child of God has even learned to be thankful in trials and tribulations, because it is God that sends them our way for our good and for His glory. We've learned that. God's taught us that. So with the topic of Thanksgiving in mind, I want to have you consider what we as the redeemed of the Lord should truly be thankful for. And I don't suppose there's any better place than right here in chapter 2 of 2 Corinthians, verse 14. Let's read it together. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. Now first I'd have you consider whose lips these words fell from, which will even make it more precious to you. Paul says, now thanks be unto God. Paul. Now, from what I have studied and read, 2 Corinthians is one of the last epistles that the Apostle Paul wrote. So I want you to picture Paul now, who is aged. He's not the young, zealous Saul of Tarsus that he once was, but older, wiser. And this man had been beaten 5 times with 40 stripes, save one. And he says, thanks be to God. This man had suffered beyond human comprehension. He'd been stoned, dragged out of the city as dead. He'd been persecuted on every side. And at the end of his long and profitable ministry, he says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Oh, to triumph when shipwrecked, to triumph when scourged, to triumph while being stoned, to triumph amidst all the hardships of the world, to triumph when he was driven from the city, to triumph when he was thrown in the prison. He thanked God Almighty in all these things, claiming to have triumphed. He says, He always causes me to triumph. By today's standards, and let's just be honest with ourselves, we preach and minister with very little opposition, to say the least. We have freedom to meet together, worship as we desire. Nobody's coming in the back door and dragging us out and throwing us in jail. To say, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph, is a very little thing in comparison to what it was in Paul's day. But for one like Paul, so trampled on, so tried, so distressed. To say it, we must say here in considering him and his life, here is a man that had true faith in God. He truly believed God, had faith in God. And he had faith in God's mission for him. He was never the same, Tyler, after that day that God knocked him off his high horse on the road to Damascus. Never was the same. And beloved, oh, what consolation Paul had in the midst of all his difficulties when he acknowledged God makes known the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Now, just for a few minutes, let's consider and see, by the grace of God, the glorious gospel in these few words. Every now and then you run across a verse of Scripture that makes its own outline. We're talking about being thankful. Thankful. I would have you notice first who we are or should be thankful to. Now, thanks be unto God. That's who we ought to be thankful to. This is where all thanks should rightly go, and it should go there now. Right now. If you find yourself not thankful, may you be right now. Paul said, now thanks be unto God. All men and women, now listen, every man and woman, even those that are lost in their sin, should thank God. He gives us every provision of our natural and physical lives are given by Him. Well, how so, Brother David? Well, we dwell on His earth. This celestial ball belongs to Him. This is the earth He made. And it's conducive or beneficial to every physical life. I'll tell you something we don't think about much, our atmosphere. We walk outside and we breathe so easily. You can't do that on other planets. We should thank God now because He alone gives us our first breath, our last breath, and every breath in between. Every man ought to thank God that he breathes, for it truly is God that gives breath. And the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground, and He breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God breathed in him the breath of life. Job said, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. Even those that don't know Him, trust Him, or love Him. Your breath comes from Him. You ought to be thankful. Job said in chapter 33, the Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. Psalm 104, listen to this from a different perspective. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to the dust. It's God that gives the breath, it's God that takes away the breath. And when God gives you your last breath, you're going to die physically and return to dust. In the book of Acts, we're told neither is God worshipped with men's hands as though He needed anything. Has God shown you that He doesn't need anything? He doesn't need anything from anybody, especially you and I. Seeing He giveth to all life and breath, and all things. We don't think much about breathing. You know when we think the most about breathing? When we have difficulty breathing. Something we take for granted otherwise. But it's God that gives every breath. So again, I tell you that all our natural provisions in this life are given by Him unto whom we should be thankful. He provides the sun, which sustains our lives and provides our food. He sends the rain, which gives us water to drink and causes the growing of our food. Wouldn't you agree that thanks ought to be unto God? Acts 14:17 says, nevertheless, He left not Himself without witness, and that He did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And that's not just to God's people. That's to every man and woman. You know how I know? Because in Matthew chapter 5 it says that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. And he sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. The sun and rain are all at his disposal. And I know that doesn't surprise you, but you'd be amazed at how many people it surprises, because men have proclaimed God to be a weak, helpless, wanting to do something type God. Oh, he can only do this if we allow him, let him. He's weak and helpless and wants to but can't. Don't listen to that, friends. That's not God. And you know it bears witness in your own heart that that's not God. The sun and the rain are all at his disposal, and he makes. Did you hear that? He maketh his sun. He makes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sendeth. Did you hear that? He sends rain on the just and the unjust. All men and women ought to be thankful to God Almighty. But let me add, especially those of the household of faith. For he breathed into us spiritual life. He provides us with manna from heaven and water which causes us to never thirst again. He clothes us with his perfect righteousness. He is our shelter. He's our refuge, and he's the sure foundation of both. He's our substitute who paid our sin debt for us, which was death, dying in our place. And you know, you think about that. Scripture says the wages of sin is death. And Christ paid sin's debt for us. Then he must die in our place in order for us to have eternal life. That's called substitution. Are you thankful for that? Are you thankful that God himself became a man, lived? Scripture says he knew no sin, yet he was made to be sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He is the one and only mediator between God and man. Brother David, you say that all the time. Do you believe it? I never grow tired of hearing it. He is the one mediator, the only mediator between God and man. You know what a mediator is. He's one who stands between two parties to reconcile the two together. In this case, Christ as our mediator stands between the sinner who's condemned already, born condemned. He stands between the sinner and a thrice holy God, and he reconciles, brings the two together. There's only one mediator now. We're told he's made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Who's made? He is the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me sum up what Christ is to the believer. He's all. He's all. He's all and in all. And that doesn't mean in everyone. That means he's all and he's all again and he's all again. He's all. He's all we need. He's all God requires. And him plus anything won't get it done. Christ alone. Christ alone. John Gill said it this way, and it really reiterates what I've been trying to say. He's the first cause of all things. He's the author of the old and of the new creation. He is salvation. He has all the fullness of the Godhead and all the perfections of deity in him. He possesses all spiritual blessings for his people and has all the promises of the covenant of grace in his hands for them. All the fullness of grace dwells in him. He is our light and life, our wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, our food and clothing, our strength and our riches, our joy, our peace, our comfort, who gives us grace here and glory after. He's all. Thanks should be, number one, unto God. Number two, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph. What a promise that is. Believer, regardless of your situation, now listen, doesn't matter. Thank God, for he always, always, is that what your Bible says? Always causes you to triumph. No wonder the Apostle Paul said in Romans 8, Glenn read it in the men's meeting. He didn't know this was one of my texts, but it says in verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who is going to overrule the hand of God Almighty to charge His elect with anything? Who? There is no one. It's God that justifies. Who is He that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Who can condemn one for whom Christ laid down His life for? Who? There's none. It's Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now, do you know what that means? I know you do. He now sits at the right hand of God Himself in all power. The right hand signifies power. And He makes intercession. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who? Who is going to separate us from the love of Christ? Well, Paul goes on to ask. He said, is tribulation? Is distress? Is peril? Sword? He said, it's written. It's written in the Scriptures. For thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. No, nay. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. He always causes us to triumph. Thanks be unto God. He always causes us to triumph because He works everything together for our good. There's no way that we cannot triumph. Because regardless of the situation, how bad it may seem to be, friends, God works it together for good to them that love Him, to them that are called according to His purpose. And it's good. Every time, it's good. Why, even death. There is triumph over death's sting and the grave in Christ. Oh, death, where is thy sting, Gary? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? He always causes us to triumph. Third thing, F5. Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. Where? In Christ. Is that what your Bible says? Now, thanks be to God which always causes us to triumph in Christ. We triumph in one place. We just read it. Who is He that condemneth? It's Christ that died, Shirley. Who's going to condemn us? It's in Christ. Only one place, and one place only. There's no victory, no faith, no salvation, no peace, no comfort, joy, love found anywhere else except in Him. Now, I'm going to quickly read you some scriptures. Matter of fact, go ahead and turn with me to Ephesians 1 and just give me a second. I'm going to read two verses in Romans to you, and then we're just going to kind of quickly flip through the first three chapters of Ephesians. So Ephesians 1, while you're turning, Romans 3:24 says, being justified freely. Now, let's get a hold of that right off the bat. If you're justified, friends, it's freely. It's not by works of righteousness that you've done, because you can't do any works of righteousness. You're justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Our justification's in Him. No other way to be saved, Tyler, no other way. Romans 8:31. There is now, therefore now no condemnation to them which are where? In the church? No. They kiss the Pope's ring? No. There's no condemnation to them that straighten up and fly right? No. There is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And friends, you can't even do that unless it's in Christ. You just can't. Now, look at Ephesians 1 with me. You're turned there. Look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Every single spiritual blessing there is, all of them, in heavenly places, where? In Christ. In Christ. Look down at verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. You see, we were blind, but now we see. Like old blind Bartimaeus, we sat by the wayside begging, didn't we? And Jesus one day heard our cry, and He stood still. And He caused us to see our need. And like Bartimaeus, He called him forth. He said, what can I do for you, Bartimaeus? He said, that I might see. One thing that I want more than anything in this world, Lord, is that I might see. That was me. I couldn't see. My eyes and my understanding had to be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Look at verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ. Everything above that, your eyes being enlightened, that you may know the hope of your calling, that you may know what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, that you may know the exceeding greatness of his power. It's all wrought in Christ. When he raised him from the dead and set him in his own right hand in heavenly places. Look at chapter 2 real quick, verse 6. Chapter 2, verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Look at verse 13 of chapter 2. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. There I was, once far away from the Savior. And in Christ Jesus, I'm made nigh by His precious blood. Look over at chapter 3, verse 10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. In whom, still speaking of the same one, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of what? Of Him. Why do you preach Christ week after week? That's all there is to preach. There's no other subject. There are different texts that we see Him in, but there's no other subject. There's no other message. Matter of fact, that's what Paul said in Colossians 1, whom we preach. Warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may be present. Every man, listen, get this word. We'll grab hold of this and hang on to it. Perfect. Every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That's the only place you can be perfect. That's the only place God will accept you. And perfection and perfect righteousness and holiness. And it only can be in Christ. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace which was given us in Christ Jesus when? Before the world began. People somehow think they made a decision and then the purpose of grace came. God purposed His grace before the world began. So surely you and I had nothing to do with it. And Paul said, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. That's the only place a man can be redeemed and saved and reconciled to God. And Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. In everything. But my wife has cancer, and everything give thanks. But I lost my job, and everything give thanks. Are we truly thankful for all that Christ has done for us? Well, not like I ought to be. And if not, may we be so now. Now, thanks be to God. Now, if you look back at 2 Corinthians 2:14, I'll give you my last two things quickly. Fourth thing, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. And notice this next phrase, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge. Now, a lot of people read right past that and never get a blessing from it. But see, friends, it is God who makes evident that elect sinners have been taught by him that great mystery which was once hid and is now made manifest that I read to you a few moments ago in Ephesians 3. Oh, to now see the Christ who is the lily of the valley, and to smell that sweet-smelling savor of the rose of Sharon in Solomon, Song of Solomon 2:1, and to be able to say with the writer Solomon, his mouth is most sweet. You know why? He speaks words of life to my soul. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. God calls you his friend, and now you can call him yours. God is angry with the wicked every day. Our hearts were continually only evil, deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. And now God says, friend. And we say, you all together lovely. The one whom we once despised, we now know personally as our Redeemer. For our great God has manifested him to us. You see, isn't that a beautiful word, manifested? He who was once nothing to us but Jesus of Nazareth. And with Nathanael, we all were guilty, and we said, what good thing can come out of Nazareth? But now God has manifested to us that he is Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, the one anointed of God to save his people from their sin. Christ is not a name, it's a title. He's the Anointed One. He's no longer just Jesus of Nazareth to me. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, aren't you thankful? Lord, help us to be more so. Now I give you my fifth and last point. Now thanks be unto God. Are you back in 2 Corinthians still? Because I want you to see this. Verse 14, now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the Savior of his knowledge. Here's the last thing. By us. In every place. Now, I got through the first four points of this and almost passed over this one. I almost didn't say it. If God, now listen, if God is ever to manifest the knowledge of his Son to those we know and love, it'll be by us in every place. And he said unto them, speaking of the Lord Jesus in Mark chapter 16, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And oh, what a privilege God has given us in sharing the glorious gospel of Christ. It pleased God, as we've read several times already this morning, by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, I may be wrong. It won't be the first time, that's for sure, if I am. But I'm pretty well convinced that you don't have to stand in the pulpit of a church to preach Christ. The word preaching in the original language means to proclaim. You can proclaim something almost anywhere and in every place. Now you may get thrown out. You may get thrown in jail. But you can proclaim something almost anywhere and in every place. And friends, I am so thankful that God uses the means and privilege of proclaiming Christ to others by us. By us. There will be some in your life that will never hear of this glorious Savior if it's not by you. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Some of you have had that happen recently. Always ready to give an answer, to proclaim the unsearchable riches of He who loved you and gave Himself for you.